potato. Got any cream in that tricycle?
Hot potato. Well, mash me, mash me.
I'll need some cream.
The best in the county, coming right up. The best because it's the purest, the freshest, and because it's the only kind I've got.
No, I'm provincial.
Welcome, everyone, to episode 171 of Bat and Spider, live in front of a studio audience tonight. Rare, if ever.
Just an awful, awful feeling. Just, it's awful.
Chuck is confirming that this has never happened on our main show before, the main feed, as we call it, behind the scenes.
It's taken a long time to get me here.
You know what? I held it over his head. I held the guilt over his head because tonight is our last live recording for a couple weeks. We are going to, before I go move any further, we will have new content for you week in and week out in the next couple weeks. But tonight is our last live recording until we reconvene in the fall weather of October.
Oh, God. Oh, it's going to be so great. Yeah, you're so lucky. You get to leave for the last bit of summer, warm weather, and when you come home, there's going to be ghouls and skeletons hanging from the trees.
And then I say on my way out, bury me ass up so the world can kiss my ace, or something like that, before I leave the country. I don't know why I equate that to. For the show, we watched Your Vice is a Locked Room and Only I Have the Key. Friend of the show, Art. Art gave it. Art goes on to say, took just 45 seconds of screen time for me to want knock off James Caan to die horribly. Some kind of record? 3 stars and 5 alt tabs. which means he was watching it on his browser, and people were walking. There was the possibility of people walking by or coming in and like, hey, Art, can you sign this document for me? Or, you know, we don't get paid.
That's dedication to the show right there. Thank you. I love bless it. You, Art, for the dedication. Yeah.
Similarly, this is one of the movies I decided to watch in bed in front of my wife. And, you know, she already thinks I'm goofy enough and this show is goofy enough as it is. Like, what is going on? What are you up to? So
your little hobby.
It just plays into like what, like she's like pretending to scroll Facebook on her phone next to me.
Dale turns to his wife and quoting this movie, he says, oh, I'm going to go to sleep in the best way I know how, or something like that.
Right. Ass up and face down so you can kiss my ace.
I don't know. Should we fill some time here?
The last time
we get to talk to each other for a while.
We're good at that. Did you finish out your kickboxer journey past week?
Well, about that, no. Last week I said how the running time of the last kickboxer movie had me scared, and I continued to let that scare me. And also that the last one wasn't, you know, it didn't leave me wanting more. So I'm saving it for a rainy day when my kickboxer battery is depleted again, I need to refill. I'll go back to it. But for some reason, I revisited a classic. I watched The Toxic Avenger and The Toxic Avenger Part 2.
Oh, that's where I went.
Something just came over
my mind.
Me.
Is blown.
I don't know what it was. I haven't seen Toxic Avenger since me and my S-head friends rented it in the late 90s. Watched it and just... I remember having a blast, and I think I didn't put it on for over 20 years thinking that it's not going to be fun to watch a second time. There's
right.
No way.
Yeah.
But I tell you what, this goofy movie, Dale, this first one, at least it is, I forget how I put it in my review, but it's like, it is one of it's sleazy, trashy, ridiculous Mad Magazine filmmaking, but something really wholesome feeling throughout it. Even though you're seeing like gym rats, when they're not at the gym, they're out on the streets running over children with their cars and high-fiving as a little game.
I don't remember that. I don't remember that.
Yeah, I need to remember that. It's insane.
I did like your quote saying you were hoping some father took their kids to see this rather than Batman 89 in the theater.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, because Toxic Avenger 2 came out in 89. Well, 2 and 3 both came out in 89, I guess. And I was thinking, I was like, you imagine like the dad is like, oh, he couldn't get Batman tickets, but he's like, oh, I'll show this kid. I'll bring him to this Toxic Avenger feature. Could you imagine the horror and disappointment or the delight, you know?
Yeah.
On that kid's face.
I need to follow your lead. I haven't watched it in, I don't know, 30 plus years, but I remember loving it. And I remember, I mean, Toxic Avenger is always there ready to pull out if you need to like show your I watch stuff too, you know, like you're ready to flip that open. Like there's, you know, there's your Bruce Campbell movies and then there's Toxic Avenger and you're like, oh yeah, you know, I watch Toxic Avenger. I remember loving it, but I had the same fear as you had. So
yeah, I was really surprised how entertained I was, you know, cause sometimes those trauma movies, they're so crazy and packed with stuff that it comes around to being you feeling bored because it's just like, you know, you can't sustain that feeling in the viewer, you know, for an hour and a half. But there's something wholesome about Toxic Avenger and his, you know, he's like he's killing people for good, but he doesn't know why. But everyone he's killing is really, really, really bad. So it's the gore is off the charts. The blood and heads being smashed open. It's pretty wild.
And I remember even before he transformed, he had a good heart. This guy in the tutu.
Well, he was a janitor at the Tromaville gym, and everyone just picked on him. He was a nerd, and everyone just picked on him, and they decided to play one big trick on him because they were sick of him, you know, dipping his mop in the hot tub and stuff. And he ends up trying to get away from them, but jumping out the second story gym window into a truck filled with toxic waste, and that's where we get our boy.
That adds
Toxy.
Up. The math adds up.
It's weird though; they never call him Toxic Avenger in the first movie. He's the monster.
Oh,
like kids at the end are even wearing "I love the monster" shirts.
That's a deep cut.
Yeah, yeah. It makes me think they didn't have a title for it. Until after they shot it or something.
You'd probably find something like that on TeePublic, you know, like a deep pool. I love the monster.
Oh, yeah,
shirt.
I'm sure.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm sure.
Real ones, no.
But yeah. Yeah. And the second one's crazy. He ends up going, there's a new, it's called Apocalypse Incorporated, a new corporation moving into Tromaville to take everything over and turn it into a hellscape wasteland of pollution. But in order to defeat them, Toxie has to go. His therapist says he has to confront his father, and one of the villains convinces him that his father's living in Japan, and his name is Big Mac, I think. So half the movie, Toxic Avenger's in Japan, and it's crazy. It's awesome. He gets into sumo fights. He goes to the fish markets.
I remember the sumo fights.
Yeah, he's walking around with a sign written in Japanese asking where his dad is. It works better than I expected, but yeah, two is pretty good. It doesn't have the same magic, but it's still fun. So, I'm excited to continue this journey because I had only ever seen the first one.
I would assume any viewings that I had. I don't know if I've ever seen it uncut. If there is, you know, like bad stuff, because I assume I would have to thank. I would have Rhonda Shear to thank for any of my Toxic Avenger viewing on USA Up All Night. That's definitely where I saw Toxic Avenger.
Yeah. Because there's some stuff they definitely would have cut out for sure on there.
Penis? Is there penises? At least one.
No penises.
Okay. No, I tried.
What about you, Dale? You got anything cooking over there?
I don't know what I'm going to talk about. God, I'm so pathetic. But I will tell you right off the bat, minutes before recording this podcast, shout out to Mr. Cablasto for showing the Discord that he ordered the Hacker's 4K Steelbook because I had to have it. I have to have it. So I ordered it, Chuck, and it's not available for shipping. It's only available in my local store, and I leave for vacation in 2 days.
On. No.
No, it's already
Don't
ordered.
Don't fall for it.
I already ordered it.
This happened to me with the Limey. I thought it was like some Best Buy exclusive. You could only get it in store. And it was this whole thing. Right. Zach, listener of the show, sent me a copy because his local store had it. But a few months later, I see you can buy it anywhere. It's up there for not anywhere, but buy it from Best Buy.
Mm.
There's
okay.
plenty of copies. Yeah.
I'll consider canceling. If not, I'm going to need somebody to go to the Best Buy for me in Cary, North Carolina, please. But otherwise, a shout out to Brandon Ulrich, friend of the show, for pointing me towards this. I'm going to plug another podcast on this show because it's my show. Chuck, I know you have huge problems with this and you always give me crap, but maybe it'll get edited out in the final edit, but the people listening live will hear. But there is a Ringer podcast called The Big Picture, and The Big Picture is a movie podcast, but over the past 2 or 3 weeks, there's been like a guest podcast on the Big Picture feed, and the podcast is called Do We Get to Win This Time? And it's all about Vietnam movies that was released during the Vietnam War and post-Vietnam War. And Brandon knows I was, that's like my catnip. You know that, Chuck. Like it's,
it's
bad for me. So
you love war. You love unjust, indefensible wars.
I would bathe myself in it. I would be on the cover of American Beauty if they were, instead of rose petals, they were Vietnam movie covers. You know, but
it's more of a I think you enjoy the existential question as opposed to the actual war part, right?
Oh, that's all. I mean, if I had a different career, it would be like philosophy, and then I would be concentrating just on this kind of stuff. But anyway. Mm-hmm. The podcast wrapped up, but I dove back into the Ken Burns Vietnam documentary that came out in 2017, and I'm like halfway through that now, and I'm just back where I was a few years ago, like knuckle deep in the questioning the war. I'm just like every fact, Chuck. It could be the smallest fact, anything about Vietnam or the war or American occupation, any fact that's dropped, I'm just shaking my head. I'm just like, fuck. Jesus Christ. You know, I'm just like, everything just like bowled me over. So I'm back in it. I'm back in the shit, as our American soldiers would say. For those folks who might not know, Trent Reznor and Atticus Ross did the soundtrack to this documentary, this like eight episode documentary. So if you want to like work, if you need something to work while listening to, you listen to this score by Trent and Atticus, and it's like a combination between you can get productive and get shit done, and then like some of the tracks get like they wind you up, like you're there. It does such a good deal of like winding you up and making you taut. Like it, there's this tension to the music that makes you like wiry and like jumpy, because it's not The Social Network is what I'm saying. It's like, there's this, taut fibrous feel to, some of the tracks and stuff. So, anyway, Ken Burns, Vietnam. So if my iPad as of 2 days ago could hold a charge, I would be taking my iPad to Italy so I could finish watching this and probably more.
Dale, this iPad, you got to, for people who don't know, Dale's iPad stopped charging 2 days ago, and he's going on a long plane ride, and I've been staying up, sweating, thinking about this.
I don't know what to do.
Do you have any solutions? What I mean, I guess you got your phone, so you can use that.
Yeah, sure, yeah. I could just, I could throw my, when I got to look at my phone, I could throw my glasses across the room so I can see what I'm doing on my phone. Maybe. Maybe I got that going for me for the next 28 days. I don't know. But it's all I have. I mean, I am, Chuck, if there was a way I could slip a new iPad under my wife's nose without anybody knowing about it, I'm right there. Like I would go to a 24-hour Walmart right now if I knew I could get away with it, but I can't.
Yeah, I bet you have some. I bet you have a pile of shrink-wrapped Best Buy DVDs behind you. You could go return five of them and get yourself a new iPad.
And but here's the thing. Here's the bad thing about this. It's not that it's not just holding a charge. I could plug a live cable into it, and it's not give. There's no power going to it, so I can't even keep it plugged in.
Oh, that sucks. Wow. That's so weird. Does it feel loose? Did it get wet?
I'm like
you have no idea.
I'm like,
if you knew you'd be.
Yeah. I'm not going over troubleshooting steps with you live on my podcast.
No.
But
no,
yes.
I don't want to do that.
Exactly. I'm in a bad way.
Yeah.
Pour that onto the shit sandwich that I had to, you know, I had to eat today. I don't know.
Yeah. God. What a day. I know. I almost, before I remembered we were recording live, I almost texted you to ask if you wanted to just delay it till tomorrow or something, because
right,
you were having a day.
Do you want to delay this? But, do you want to delay this till tomorrow or for 29 more days?
Yeah, no. And then I was like, oh, but he's leaving very soon.
Yeah. Do you want to delay this for 28 or 29 days?
Hang on, before we move on, I want to recommend a podcast that I haven't listened to all of, but
please.
I've wanted to recommend this podcast to you forever, and I've been waiting for them to do a season on Vietnam. They still haven't done one, but there's a podcast called The Blowback. I think they've done Cuba, they've done the Korean War.
My God.
I think they did one other one, I can't remember, but their new season is starting very soon, and it's on 9/11 in Afghanistan. But I listened to some of the Korea one, and it's super fascinating because they do the research, and they spent a lot of time talking about like the conventional wisdom we have about that war and how that has been, that's a repainted history. That's a more like modern thing than what actually happened. And they really go in there and you're like, holy crap. That's not at all what I thought was going on there. It's not as black and white as you would assume. But, you know, I mean, I guess you could say that about every war. But,
yeah.
But, yeah, I highly recommend that if you ever get your iPad fixed. Download some of those.
Yeah, thank you. I would look to turn my attention to that war. I don't know anything. Much like the Vietnam War. I don't know anything about the Korean War, so I could probably.
I think that's what's a weird thing about the Korean War, like, because no. Like people our age don't really know much about it, even though it was kind of a big thing. A lot of Americans went to fight there. But should we pivot right into Your Vice is the Locked Room and Only I Have the Key?
Did you read that without reading?
No, it's right in front of me.
Teleprompter.
The amount of times I had to remember this title today, pulling clips and doing the artwork. And
if you want to see me going crazy in the moment, find me 2 minutes before I have to watch the movie for the week and me trying to find the title of the movie that we're going to watch.
Yeah.
I hate my life. If I have to go back to the episodes channel in Discord and go all the way back to the day I posted the next episode, I hate myself, and that's what I had to do for this one. I kept like Googling your mind vice. The word mind is not even in the...
I thought for a while, I thought it was Your Vice is a Vault and Only I Have the Combination.
Oh, man. It's probably any combination of these things. Chuck, what is this movie about?
Good question, Dale. So this is Your Vice, blah, 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 blah by Sergio Martino. So it's about a couple living in what did you call this? A villa, maybe?
See.
In a small northern town in Italy. And it's not a good situation. It's toxic. Their guy's mom just died, and he's a total mama's boy, and he's totally hung up on her. And he's a brute. He's a drunk. He's abusive. And it's just a bad all-around situation. You know, he's a teacher. He's a writer. He hasn't written in 3 years. He's always inviting young people to the house to have hippie parties. It's just a mess. It's bad. Anyway, yeah. there's a killer on the loose, killing young women. Our boy, our writer, sort of he gets caught up in the investigation because one of his mistresses got it. It's all about this couple in their internal strife, and this guy may or may not being a murderer, and the wife wanting to get, trying to find some relief from this horrible situation of a relationship, even though she doesn't want to leave, but she's trying to, like, keep him calm. And add the possibility of him being a murderer, you know, things get gross. Anyway, some relative of the guy shows up, the young, beautiful Edwig Fennick.
Yeah.
And she struts in like she's got everybody's number, Dale. She's one of these characters. She's got everyone pegged. It's almost like she's writing the movie as she's acting in it.
And, that's so good. God, that's good, Chuck. You could stop there. That's so good.
And, yeah, I'll just stop there. But yeah, a lot of Giallo stuff. There's a black cat, too, that just won't keep its trap shut.
Dude, your letterbox reviews today, off the charts, record-breaking. Yeah. That your letterbox review for this movie, that darn cat, Italian style. when it comes down to it, yeah.
Yeah, right?
It's crazy. Right? It's crazy. I mean, it's crazy. Like, I love, it's so crazy. I'm going to just put myself out there and say this for the good of our friendship.
Get in there.
I didn't watch this on Tubi. I couldn't. After 2 minutes, I stopped watching it on Tubi.
Bad quality.
Well, there were no subtitles to the English dub.
You know, okay, you needed subs.
I needed subs. So I pivoted. It's for rent on Amazon Prime, but on Amazon Prime, it's in Italian with English subs.
Oh, okay.
So all I watched the Italian version with English subs, but at least I had English subs. I needed that, like, because I was sitting in my bed last night with my wife, who was like, at second 45, he sees this weird orgy rape. She sees this and she is like totally just shit zoned. She is zoned somewhere. But so, like, on Tubi, I, like, had the TV turned all the way up. I couldn't hear anything, especially when the two French people, I mean, it's like we're 10 seconds into the movie and these two French people are in the corner, like, talking to each other. And I couldn't tell if they were speaking in English dub or if it was French, or I just couldn't hear anything. I was like, I'm done. I'm out. I can't watch this version of the movie. I'm done. And it turns out it was French, and I couldn't understand it anyway.
Oh, you were watching a French dub. Because that scene when they cut to the couple in the English dub, Dale, you would be you're not a Southerner by birth, but you're now a Southerner. You would be so offended by this Southern accent they put on this random lady in that scene.
To my mother, qu'est-ce qu'il dit ce fou?
He's doing his nostalgia for mama thing. Italians love that bag, you know.
It's really indescribable. Yeah, it's. I think I pulled the clip, so I'll definitely put it in there.
Oh,
holy cow!
So she's
I actually kind of wished I had watched the version you did, because the dub on this. I mean, I like the dub. It's a goofy dub, but some of the voices, it was like watching cartoons, Dale. Like the old lady, the trash lady who rides the trash bike around.
Yeah.
Her voice was insane.
Really?
It was like someone doing like a cartoon witch character.
Really? Oh my God.
It was crazy.
Hello there, Satan. He's the only intelligent critter around, if you ask me.
Did they refer to her in the English dub as the Rag and Bone Woman?
Yes, I think so.
Okay. All right. I just want to make sure. I just wanted to make sure. Yeah. Okay. Wow. So the rental on Amazon was of higher quality. Like the film stock was very much nicer than the Tubi version.
I would have liked that too.
I had fun with this movie. I had a blast, especially when it came out. Like when it came out, you know, who was the murderer, and it was like a master plan kind of thing. And it was the wife. I mean, the wife dealt with so much, but her masterminding it all, or the master plan of it, or her dealing with it until everything was set up for her to just kind of like get away with it scot-free, except for that darn cat. I was sold with this. I loved the way it turned out.
It did trick me. I didn't peg her as the killer, but I was also kind of a little mad that she was the killer, because they don't give you any chance to suspect her. She is such a, like an abused character and just in peril the whole time that it doesn't even enter your mind. And I feel like that's a little bit of dirty pool.
Her face, I couldn't get over her face looking like her lip structure. She looked like, this is super specific to a subset of people who saw Cowboy Bebop, but she was the mother of the family who protected the Ganymede, like river rat. It's so stupid that
I'm out. I have no idea.
It's all I could think about when this woman was on screen. The woman who had the sons and they were like terrorizing people because of their wearing the furs of the Ganymede river rat and the eating. It's so stupid. But you're right. But I think, you know, it's been, 100 episodes, 100 plus episodes since we watched a Giallo movie. That, you know, I kind of forget that there are certain ones that will just keep you lingering. Like, they won't give you a clue as to who the killer is until the very, very end. And then that's when the explanation will come, like, spilling out of the killer's mouth or something like that. But she was such a victim in this movie. But you're right. She was such a victim in this movie that it was hard to not think to be the most sympathetic person in her corner the whole time.
Yeah, and on top of that, like when they, you know, we see that Oliverio, the husband, we see that he couldn't have done it. But then when Floriana Hedwig Fennec comes in, her character's so kind of diabolical, and she seems like she's pulling the strings and everything, that you're like convinced that she has something to do with it, or at least partially.
Yeah.
And the other thing that happens in this is that a killer is caught like half hour into the movie. I did appreciate that, because it was like, wait, the killer's caught. Like, holy crap. What else are we going to watch now?
Yeah.
Like, what's this movie about? Oh, God. Yeah, do we have to watch more spousal abuse for another hour? I got to put my cards on the table since you did.
Do it.
This might be blaspheme. But Martino, he doesn't get me there. I got the same. I feel like I had the same experience when we watched All the Colors of the Dark,
mm-hmm.
where I liked some of the stuff. I liked some of the ingredients, but it leaves me with not much to latch on to. And I don't know if it's a lack of anyone I like, which is not necessarily true, but I think I was just so. I hated this relationship, and I hated spending time with these people. I really didn't enjoy spending time with these people. Even though there, you know, lots of sexy things were happening, which you'd think would kind of pull me in, but I don't know. Something is just missing there from the Giallo experience that I enjoy in other directors' films. But
I can definitely see what you're saying there, because I think right off the bat, Oliverio is such, he does such a good job of making you just hate the bastard. He is beyond repairable. He is beyond redemption.
Another thing about the dub and his character, Dale, I really wanted to tell you this. I was dying to tell you, especially since you, his voice, whoever did the dub on him sounded like drunk Roy Scheider. And I couldn't the whole movie I was picturing Scheider and Jaws, you know, like drinking wine at the dinner table, slurring his lines. That's exactly what the actor that they got to dub this sounded like.
That's a nice specific one too, right? Because he does get a little drunk when he's drinking that whole glass of wine. He does start slurring his words and whatnot. His character portrayal, like, he is such a bastard. By the end, I could not look at him. He was so bad of a human, with so many traits or tics or qualities. Like, he was obviously beyond in love with his own mother. He probably, you know, sexually wanted her in some way or another.
Oh yeah, that was probably the best line in the movie, when Floriana's like, "Is it true you had sex with your mother?" And then she clarified, "I mean, when you were an adult, of course." Like, Like, that makes it a little bit better, I guess.
Yeah. Man, her,
oh, God.
Her character in this movie was just completely,
it was,
man.
Like, I don't know what the opposite of what's that called? That female character archetype? Magical, what is it? Magical gypsy queen girl? What is that? Do you know what I'm saying? Magical pixie dream girl. She was like, yeah, the opposite of that, because she was so like devious and all-knowing.
Yeah, it was kind of like beyond cruel, like Cruel Intentions 3. It was beyond Cruel Intentions, beyond Cruel Intentions or something. It was,
yeah.
You know, she was so above board. Like, she was so okay with taking everyone's corner just so she could like woo them into her, into between herself.
And we're rooting for her, because like she's the only one in the movie who's like taking, you know, helping Irina and being like, hey, I'm going to help you. This situation sucks. Like, she's the only one making any sense out of this horrible relationship.
Yeah.
She's like, I'm going to help you. We're going to figure this out. And so you're like, you're, you know, even though you think she's up to no good, you're kind of like, you're like, all right, she's helping Irina. You know, she's going to help her get out of the situation.
And if that's the bottom line, if that's what it takes, fine.
Yeah. How about Hot Potato Dale? This grocery store delivery guy / motorcycle rider.
Well, you mean our future third podcast host?
This handsome toothpick.
Yeah.
Get him a microphone.
Please. I mean, his customer service, his willingness to just pal it up with his customers. I like this guy.
Man.
I want to be this guy.
He's a sitcom
character. I'm going to turn into this guy in Italy when I take over the local, when I go to the local store and I start delivering people's sheep's eyes and cream.
Sheep's eyes, milk, and salamis.
I'm going to chat it up with every person I run into.
God, and you're going to be so quick with the, bounce right off whatever they throw at you.
Yeah, I mean, his way to of just, I mean, he like his missing, I forget what the previous girl's name was, who was the maid at the house.
Oh.
She's like, where is she? Where's the blonde? He kept,
Brenda.
I like that.
Oh, yeah.
He's like, where's the blonde? Yeah. And then he's like, that's the little joke I had for her. That's like, I called her the blonde.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Oh, my God. He was good.
That was the other horrible thing that we should not fail to mention, is how racist everyone is against Brenda, the black housekeeper. It's
super racist.
It's horrible. It's
everybody.
So horrible.
And they even like
every single person.
They even like speak to her like she's a liability. Like, they're speaking to other people like she's a liability.
Oh yeah.
She's like, oh, we have a black person lives here. We have a colored maid. You know, it's like, what's going on? His nickname for her was Snow White. Oh my God. In the English dub, her nickname is, oh my.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Oh, that wasn't in yours? The Snow White?
No, no, it was just the blonde.
And she dies wearing Oliviero's mom's dress, that cursed dress.
But it, I mean.
That's the only thing, it leaves me wanting, like, I hated Oliviero so much, but I really wanted to know more about him and his mom.
Yeah,
I almost wanted some flashbacks to like just get a peek into this disgusting family.
yeah, for sure. I thought that's it was going to be a lot more connected to his mother somehow. But maybe Satan the cat. Like somebody said, it's the, you know, didn't somebody infer that Satan was the mother reincarnated or something like that? Or maybe that's all you needed to know, because the cat was in the mother's lap in the portrait.
It's sort of that. It's either a little bit of supernatural Edgar Allan Poe stuff, or it's all in Irina's head with the cat meows. I don't know. Though, did the cops hear the meowing? Oh yeah, they heard the meowing too. Yeah. So there's something supernatural, I think.
You brought up Poe, but it's probably impossible for anybody to not like home right in on Edgar Allan Poe with this story.
Yeah.
But it's a cool. I thought it was a cool telling of it, especially, you know, when it. Well, I mean, come on. Like, if anything, 2023, Chuck, is the summer of animal abuse here on Bat and Spider.
Oh, God. Oh,
like,
God.
Does it take the crown? Does 2023 take 2023 colon?
Yeah.
Let's beat them all.
Yeah.
2023. Let's fuck animals up. Let's kill them all.
But the fake cat, it was very fake. So at least they didn't, you know, I don't think they did anything bad to that cat, thankfully, right?
Yeah, no, I don't think so. I think, you know, my hackles started raising when she was trying to, like, catch the cat and the cat had to, like, pivot a few times. That was too much for me, you know what I mean? But
oh, yeah, I was like, that cat's stressed. You guys got to chill out.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Like, get the cat handler in there, please, and just, like, let's everybody calm down. Because the cat...
Get a treat in there. Somebody pet that guy.
Yeah.
Don't chase him.
And the cat, like, God. I like that the cat clearly had, like, a personality when they were acting on screen. And then, you know, you get this makeshift shimmied, you know, like... eye gouging on screen. You know, it was just like meaty and raw and was awful.
I want to know what that fake cat was made out of, though. That eye that they mashed just looked like it was embroidered. It was like a patch. It was like an eye patch. It was like, I don't know. It looked fibrous and not shiny at all.
Yes.
It was so weird.
Yeah, it was disgusting. But the fact that after all was said and done, the fact that the cat gave it away, God, they go through the film goes through such an effort to make you forget that the cat exists.
Yeah, I know.
Until the last scene and the polizia show back up, and they're just like, oh, the Rag and Bone Woman. You know, Rag and Bone Woman said you were abusing a cat. I gotta check in on it.
That's
like, I gotta check
in. That
was
the other thing that blew me away is that, you know, with all the blatant racism in here, the fact that, like, an old woman complaining about a cat being abused, that the police would actually do anything.
I know.
That was a little hard to swallow as real.
How did they then just, like, write her off and call her, like, the crazy old woman?
Yeah. And the other mysterious character that you're, like, thinking is the killer. This guy in his white, I'm guessing it was a wig, that white wig, this guy that shows up every, like, half hour in the movie.
Yes.
This look on his face.
Who was he?
I don't know. I guess he was, like, Irina's, like, side dude. I don't know. And he was, like, helping her off everyone in the village and her husband.
I just...
inherit the house and the jewels, I guess. I don't know.
I just wish he was a bigger character outside of the fact that he was the side piece. Like, was he, like, he could have been a part-time cop. He could have been a villager. He could have been in that group of friends.
Yeah, it was frustrating because he had a great look, but it was like he was just like fucking, he was just the hand of God just coming in to do things in the story that needed done. It was a little frustrating.
If you're just joining us, this just in, my wife texted me to tell me my dog peed all over my side of the bed. Just so if everybody's keeping track.
Oh my God.
Yeah. You need to bring a comforter down, she says, before this is perfect.
Oh, Dale, I'm sorry.
No, yeah, it's all right. It's fucking... You know... Great. I just need to worry about this for the next 30 days while the dog is here. God knows what. Like, imagine
being on my bed again.
Imagine the saturation of my purple mattress when I get back.
I know.
Imagine.
Is that thing made of all foam?
It's space age foam. NASA foam, Chuck. It's like beyond foam.
It probably sucks up twice the amount of dog pee.
Yeah, yes, exactly.
From normal foam.
Purple mattress : beyond foam. Purple mattress, we soak it up. We soak it all up. I just can't get a fucking break
today.
So
you can sleep soundly on top of urine. I can smell it, too. I can just smell it. I grew up in a house with a dog that peed everywhere.
Yeah.
And God, the smell.
Right. Eventually, by like month six of your dog doing it, you just like you spray. Maybe you just pour some water on it, sop it up with a paper towel. Like, you're so over it, you're so beaten down by it.
I told that story when I vacuumed up the dog pee and poop, right? Yeah, I told that story, right? Yeah. God, was saving my dog's honor.
Oh, man. Beautiful.
Didn't want her to get in trouble.
What a time. What a mess.
Oh, how about that? We should talk about Edwiga and the motorcycle man's death. That was a pretty fun scene.
That was the best one. That was the best.
The white wig guy spilling the oil like he was playing NES RC Pro-Am.
Yeah.
They hit that oil slick and crash into the billboard and die immediately, and then he lights the oil slick on fire, so everything burns. That was, wow.
Yeah. And you just, it was
clean it up.
It was just like 10 minutes long. Like, you knew it was going to happen. It was just like,
so long. Yeah.
You know. Yeah. Anyway, Edwiga's haircut. Anyway, just like, bury me in that, please.
Oh, I'd never seen her in this hair before. Fantastic.
Take me away.
Job on for the stylist there.
I think about Edwiga's haircut and I forget my soppy, pissed up sleeping arrangements for the night. I think about smooth flights.
It was almost a haircut out of time. It almost didn't seem like it belonged in this movie.
Yeah. Yeah, it was like...
It felt like it stood out.
I'm trying to picture, not Celia Ward, but who's the other one, Chuck? Who's the other one that makes you smile like this?
Oh, from Sisters? So what was that show she was on? With the three sisters?
I don't know either.
And Arena's hair, she had like... That thing was bulbous. Some of the shots of her hair, like from behind...
Oh, man, yeah, that
like seemed bigger than on close-ups of her face. It was very strange.
It was almost like the terrorist mother from the Ganymede River Rat terrorist organization had a moppy, messed up head like a Ganymede River Rat was living in her hair. You know?
Yeah,
guys, if, please, Discord, please help me. It's not Celia Ward. It's the younger...
Swoozy Kurtz.
Who?
Swoozy Kurtz. Celia Ward was in the show Sisters.
No, so, I mean, Swoozy Kurtz confirmed is 78 years old.
Well, now she is. Not in 1991.
I will not stop recording this episode until I find out what I'm trying to talk about here. I'm dying.
Who is
I'm dying on the vine.
Celia Ward mistaken for? Celia Ward lookalikes.
It's not Celia Ward and it's not Celia Ward. Selma
Jean
Blair.
Triplehorn?
It's not Selma Blair, but it's the other one. Not Selma Blair.
Oh my God.
I'll think of it. We might spend the whole after show thinking about it, but
Chloe 70.
I can picture. Oh, you know what I'm picturing?
Jean Triplehorn.
No, you know what I'm picturing? I'm gonna, I think, oh my God, no. I am thinking of that Cutie Patootie from Dazed and Confused. That's what I'm thinking. One of the ones in the bathroom at the girls' room talking about Gilligan's Island.
Yeah.
Thinking about that Cutie Patootie.
Okay. Yeah, let's wrap up this movie. Movie, Dale gives a thumbs up. I give a sort of a in-between thumbs up.
I give it a thumbs up.
I give it a thumbs up for Italian ambience, but. But yeah, I was kind of crawling up the walls. I wanted it to be over.
I give it a thumbs up for the English subtitle version, calling the orgy people a bunch of campers from the campground. What do they call it in the English dub version?
I don't remember. Maybe someone in the Discord remembers.
And then it was, and then they just stopped coming around. At one point, Brenda's like, "Oh, the campers are here again tonight. If you wanna,
yeah."
And Olivia is like, "Send them away." Send them away.
And then you see the boys talking in the village about how, like, the one guy, the motorcycle guy is, like, telling all his friends, like, man, you guys don't even know what goes on up there. It's crazy, the stuff that goes on up there. What, like the guy freaking out over the painted portrait of his mother? Yeah, it's real wild.
Right. Losing himself in the bottle.
Losing himself. Being a brute.
Slipping with his niece. Unable to control himself around his niece's swinging open saloon door thighs. Anyway. 315-544-0966. It's the official Bat and Spider hotline. batandspiderpod@gmail.com. Official Bat and Spider email address. Here we go. First for voicemail. No emails. Got a couple voicemails.
Toby!
Oh my gosh, yes.
Spirited.
Christine
Harnos?
That's the one. Yeah, that's the one. I have her tab open up here.
Okay.
Waiting for me to continue my diatribe.
Good call. Good call.
Wait for me, Christine Harnos. Next up.
Hello, Fledermaus und Spinner.
Oh, boy.
Okay.
He's back.
Oh, God. Could you hear it okay?
Yeah.
Okay. Restart.
Yes.
Here we go.
I heard it. Okay.
All right.
Hello, Fledermaus und Spinner. This is your friend, Heinz Klinkern, once again leaving you a message on your telephone machine. Sorry if I am yelling. I was just at the discotheque. A little birdie tells me it is once again the month of your birthdays. Alles Gute zum Geburtstag, Fledermaus und Spinner. I once had a birthday where a woman walked past me and she accidentally brushed her hand against my hand. And then when I went to speak to her, I found I was unable to. I was eating some very sticky taffy. My teeth had begun to stick together, making the simple act of communication quite difficult at that moment in time. When I found myself able to speak again, several days had passed and all of my fillings had been pulled out, forming a delicious mass of metal and taffy, which I had no choice but to swallow.
Oh my God.
That was one of my favorite birthday memories. Charles, I heard you are a hentai artist. I do not know what that is, but I hope you get a lot of it for your special day.
Thank you, but not true. That's fake.
I heard you are a pornography addict.
That's it. And that's
what? Oh, Hans.
Hans.
God. You conjure up such strange feelings that I don't know what to do with.
Shuts
the door.
If he wasn't clearly a child of wartime, if he didn't grow up during some war, it would be a lot easier to hate him.
Yeah. That clock, though, man. No wonder he seems a little off living with that clock.
That was it. So that was it for voicemails.
Yeah. And we don't have, we're not going to pick a movie, right, Dale?
So what should we do? Should we let the audience decide whether we pick a movie or not live?
We could tell them what's coming out next week.
Yeah, we could.
If we want to.
So yeah, I previously did let the people know that Private Parts from 1972 is the next movie.
Oh, okay. We did. I didn't know we said that already. Okay.
So we could jump. We could jump and pick the next movie.
No, I don't want to do that. Because there'll be stuff in between. Because I'm doing that. I'm doing that special ep in between. I don't want to get anything confused.
Chuck.
Right. Yeah.
You just committed yourself.
Hey, when the cat's away. Well, I got some commitments off air, so it's happening.
All right. It's great to hear.
But no, let's wait till we come back and we can we'll announce in the Discord what we pick for.
Oh, that's a great idea.
October.
That's a great idea cuz so if my calculations are correct, I picked this movie and I picked next movie, Chuck. So you're going to have a month to think about our next movie, and we'll announce it in the Discord before we record.
God, it's going to be so good. I'm going to pick the best movie.
You're going to have a month. Yeah, it's going to be a month-long wait. Yeah. It's going to be amazing. I know it already.
But I do want to say, we already recorded the Private Parts episode, but I don't want to spoil it, but guys, watch this movie.
Yeah.
I beg you if you haven't seen Private Parts.
Is it fair to say it could be like if we had a end of the year pick?
Oh yeah,
could be top three.
Oh yeah, yeah. Oh, certainly, yeah. One of my most favorite discoveries of the year.
Yeah,
for sure. So I guess that's it, Dale. Now fight back the tears as we say goodbye to you and you get on your boat.
Yeah, I'm gonna
old Italy.
I'm gonna be boarding. I'm gonna have like my little Daffy Duck hat, like you know, with the little ribbon hanging off of it.
Yeah,
yeah.
Little Swoozy Kurtz's hand on your shoulder, and blowing that little Daffy Kurtz. Duck thing. Yeah.
My lustful desire of Swoozy Kurtz. I can't get enough.
Look up at Swoozy with your doe eyes. She smirks at you.
Her gorgeous hair that I want to cut off of her head and wear for a mask. Swoozy Kurtz's. Top of her head and scalp.
She buys you a Coney Island to shut you up.
Folks,
it's gonna be a great trip.
This isn't the last. You haven't heard The Last of Us. We'll be back, and there's gonna be some more stuff for you to listen to as the days and weeks come. And guess what? I will have access to Discord in Italia.
Yeah, but don't. You know what, Dale? Don't make any
promises. Addicted. I'm addicted.
When you're over there,
and when I'm over there, yeah.
If you're
without
like me,
an iPad,
when I'm over there without an iPad. But when I've been over there, it's like the world disappears. The internet disappears. It's all the internet's only for looking up directions and translations. The rest of the time you're just in awe of everything you see. Because everything's different. You just can't take your eyes off it.
See.
It's great. It's fantastic.
See. Go to batandspider.com and join our Discord if you're not. And folks listening along live, thanks for joining us. We're gonna be hanging out after the show. And continuing this fun, and join our Discord if you want to know what the next movie is after Private Parts, because that's going to be happening. We love you, and we'll see you very soon. This is not the end.
We love you.
Question mark.
The amount of times we've promised this is not the end, it's a lot.
It means it's the end.
I'm going to hit the stop button, Dale. I love you. Have a good trip.
I love you too. You have a good trip too. We love you.